Folks, today's program is sponsored by healthmasters.com. A couple months ago, I went to Dr. Ted and I said, Ted, I need you to put together a must-have product bundle. I'm going to take it and I'm going to promote it to my listeners. Knowing what I know and that we're getting bathed in a toxic soup with the electromagnetic and the 5G, the chemtrails, Monsanto, the Frankenfoods, I think this is the best protocol at Health Masters, period. B-complex, vitamin C, Norwegian omega-3, potassium iodide, black seed oil. I think that cures everything except death. The ultimate D3 with K2, the ultimate multiple powder, that's my favorite, and the magnesium brain food. There is nothing like Sheila's Defender Shield protocol. Go to healthmasters.com and save now by using code Sheila at checkout. Because folks, your health comes first. Protect it. Go to healthmasters.com/Sheila today. Green Gospel, the New World Religion. By Sheila Zelinsky. Introduction. There exists a group of clandestine, self-proclaimed ruling oligarchs who are in fact soulless pagans with designs on reshaping the world into a state of complete global governance where everyone embraces the goddess Gaia as God. Christians are at war with this group and they don't even know it. They don't know it because the group designed it that way. It is a good example of the Bible's observation in Isaiah 29:15 that the devil's work is done in the darkness. The West is being radically transformed into a soulless, ungodly Marxist society. America is not the last bastion of freedom. It's the first and the only one. For that, it is under attack, as it represents everything the founding fathers envisioned, a nation of free people under God. Public education and the progressive mainstream media have indoctrinated Americans to accept a cabal's collectivist Marxist ideas as a valid part of the American way. They are not. They are diametrically opposed to the constitutional republic and liberties established by our founding fathers on fundamental moral tenets of biblical law. Their endgame is to destroy constitutional liberties and the free market economy through deindustrialization and ultimately population reduction. Even more frightening is their astonishing plan to reinstate a form of paganism dating back to Bible times. These people want control over every aspect of your life and to exert dominance over every single daily activity. Their astonishing goal is to eradicate the one person who stands in the way, Jesus Christ. This book will explain how the claim that human-induced or anthropogenic global warming and the Green Agenda were deliberately hatched decades ago as the basis for this political agenda and actually have nothing at all to do with science or the environment. The Green Agenda is not about saving the planet, as its creators are so quick to espouse. It is instead a pagan imperial doctrine to justify wiping out nation states and reducing world population in order to secure the continued world rule by the British Empire and the privately controlled cabal behind the Green Agenda. Those pushing the global warming fraud have targeted human CO2 emissions as its ostensible cause because CO2, or carbon dioxide, is the God-given, natural, and necessary byproduct of the industrial activity that sustains human life, energy, agriculture, manufacturing, etc. Pope Francis doesn't realize that in his latest attack on fossil fuels, he's condemning the poor to continued deprivation and misery. Sadly, history shows that all these objectives are designed to control people completely, to keep them enslaved by making simple survival a daily challenge with no time to think. Over the past two decades, the progressively built hysteria about global warming, which is now climate change, has now erupted into a full-blown public relations offensive. Al Gore, the Pope, the British royal family, almost all liberals, including AOC and her Green New Deal, which we'll talk about later. Is it green? Is it a deal? Is it new? Wow, you're going to be shocked to know what it's really all about. All this cast of characters are leading the push for a one-world climate regime, which, if fully implemented, would be hell on earth in the form of a totalitarian government. Elaine Duer explained in her book, Cloak of Green, how the chief architect of the environmental and global warming agenda, Maurice Strong, was using the United Nations as a platform to sell a global environmental crisis and the global governance agenda. And even more insidious is the fact that this cabal of collectivists have discovered the ultimate vehicle to force their new pagan green religion upon the entire world. The collective fear that the sky is falling and only they can save the world. As H.L. Mencken explained, the urge to save humanity is almost always a false front for the urge to rule. The U.S. Founding Fathers, they understood this urge and used the U.S. Constitution to prevent control of the people by the government. And as Thomas Paine wrote in Common Sense in 1776, this new world hath been the asylum for the persecuted lovers of civil and religious liberty from every part of Europe. Hither have they fled, not from tender embraces of the mother, but from the cruelty of the monster. And it is so far true of England that the same tyranny which drove the first immigrants from home pursues their descendants still. Chapter 1. Watermelons. Green on the outside, red on the inside. The title of this book is deliberately ambiguous. Environmentalists think it is a book that will explain and praise their worldview. It is only after you read the preface that a completely different interpretation appears. This notion that the outside does not reflect the inside or what is actually happening is expressed in various analogies. The common one for extreme environmentalism is that people are watermelons, promoting a green environmentalism on the outside, but underneath they are promoting a red socialist agenda. I contend that this is more than a political agenda because socialism is atheistic and anti-Christian. Since people need a belief system, they have converted environmentalism into a new form of pagan religion. Most people think that totalitarianism is right-wing dictatorships, but there is totalitarianism of the left as well. Indeed, the most ruthless dictatorships are left-wing. Hitler founded the Nazis, which is an abbreviation of the National Socialist Party. When asked who they think was the most evil political figure of the 20th century, most people suggest it was Hitler. Surprisingly, it wasn't. It was Joseph Stalin. He killed even more millions of people and was far more evil and ruthless than Hitler. Today, a deluge of evidence about the bloody horrors of Stalin's rule is emerging from Russian archives. In 1917, thanks to Lenin, the official reign of communist terror began with a simple red flag heralding victory. The blood-red flag became the lasting color and symbol of communism. Lenin's Russia would transition to Stalin's Soviet Union. During the ensuing 70 years, over 110 million people were exterminated around the world, but mostly in the Soviet Union, in the name of Marxism. The diabolical tentacles of Marxism have steadily reached into the West for decades. The question is, what does an evil, tyrannical dictator with a callous disregard for human life have to do with global warming and climate change? Well, in order to help you understand the green agenda, we must start the story with Karl Marx, a very sinister and diabolical man. He was born in Trier, Germany on May 5th, 1818, and lived for 65 years, during which time his twisted mind conceived atrocious plots to infect the world with his godless philosophies. Karl Marx, a self-admitted Satanist, fashioned himself as a scientist, coming up with crazed, deranged laws of matter that supported what many elitists believe, that those with better brains have a responsibility to the world to rule over those with inferior brains because, left to their own devices, those inferior brain people would kill each other and destroy the planet. Science suited this agenda because it is amoral and apolitical. It was given academic legitimacy by Darwin's evolutionary theory. In other words, Marx believed that those born with a better brain had the right to rule others. The paradox of this elitism is lost on socialists and communists who promote the belief that all people are equal with equal opportunities. In recent decades, more and more Americans have become conditioned by politicians to depend on government to solve their problems. And that is how demagogues have always operated. They demonize something or someone, in this case the rich, implying they obtained their wealth by exploiting the downtrodden. They stir up racial hatred at every opportunity. Where are we seeing that today? They endlessly bash capitalists as evil exploiters, and they promise social justice and universal happiness if only we will elevate them to power over us. They do all this by appealing to anger and envy. They know instinctively that if they can stir up and ignite these dark and addictive passions in all of us, they will create a large voting bloc of people dependent on them and thus be rewarded with great power. In its purest form, this phenomenon is called Marxism, but variously communism or socialism. Regardless, the spiritual core is raw envy. The practical political core is complete suppression and control of the individual. Academics argue irrelevantly that these are different, but the common denominator is they all advocate total control by government. This philosophy of cradle-to-grave security and wealth redistribution exerts a powerfully seductive grip on people who have not discovered true inner government. And as William Fenn famously said, men must be governed by God or they will be ruled by tyrants. Communism, of course, is atheistic, where the government is the only true God, the giver of blessings, the solver of problems, the dispenser of justice and mercy. This envy-based, class warfare-fueled revolutionary system promulgates justice, fairness, and progress, but sadly, the only progress it delivers is slavery. And this is the appeal more and more Americans have been conditioned to over the years. We have progressively fallen away from the Christian values that once animated our culture and institutions. The envy-based pseudo-ideology system that Marx unleashed on the world is alive and well, and in different forms dominates large parts of the world. In America, it has taken deep roots in the left wing of the Democratic Party. Ronald Reagan may have been instrumental in destroying the evil empire of the Soviet Union, but you cannot destroy evil itself. Evil remains and continues to do its job of tempting and corrupting the souls of men. It is the most evil of all, the evil within. This includes a litany of moral degradation, including the encouragement of immorality, free sex, abortion, homosexuality, easy divorce, breakdown of the family, and so on. These moral failings are part and parcel of the socialist modus operandi, because immoral, dysfunctional people who have crossed the moral line thus become estranged from God, now need the God of socialist government. All of this is what is now occurring in the United States as socialist politicians masquerading as Democrats establish control through the bureaucracies. And all of this is what we inherited when we got Barack Hussein Obama, who occupied the office of the President of the United States. But you say Trump's in office now, but we need to look at what was inherited in the person of Barack Hussein Obama, who did occupy the office of the President of the United States. Obama's selection and appointments were constructed to advance a socialist agenda. Because think about it, Americans on the whole, they've become increasingly corrupted over the years. They've been conditioned into voting for unprincipled, unscrupulous charlatans who believe the Saul Alinsky dictum that the end justifies the means. If it takes lies, then that's acceptable. Think about it. We almost elected Al Gore, the man with a penchant for chicanery and outlandish deceptions, who we'll delve into more in the next chapter, as my book explains, refuses to debate. He constantly repeats the science is settled mantra, and he chants nonsensical claims that we are in a climate crisis. Gore insists that those refusing to acknowledge his views must be dealt with in the harshest manner, as any dictator would urge. It is a classic example of the socialist belief that if you are not with me, you must be against me. If anyone dares question or even disagree, then he or she is an enemy of the cause, which in socialist terms is the state. The real science community, contrary to Gore's politically motivated claims, knows that Earth has actually been in a cooling trend for the last 18 years. The question is, why would they lie to us? Well, in this book, I'll explain how and why. But for right now, it's critical to know that the idea of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels appealed to the founders of collectivism because it contradicts a structure founded on a belief in God. Founders of collectivism promote a moral system of knowledge through advanced education and believe that they can become masters of the universe with no room for anything other than their so-called absolute truth. For them, God is a mythical crutch for millions of plebs, and whatever morality is required shall be defined by them. As Marx put it, religion is the open appeal to the masses. Telling a lie or perpetrating a fraud is perfectly acceptable as long as the end justifies the means. And this parallels, by the way, the Islamic belief that a lie is acceptable to advance their doctrine. This tolerance of lying marks a fundamental break with Christianity, in which lying is morally wrong and breaks the trust between individuals. Christianity underscores the sense of personal responsibility that God provided and is inherent in the U.S. Constitution. Karl Marx began his rebellion against God as a student at the University of Berlin, where he was strongly influenced by the philosopher George Hegel and his followers known as the Young Hegelians. Their goal was straightforward: eliminate Christianity. Marx and his followers loathed the Republican form of government, especially the American manifestation. They were determined to eradicate the Western Christian simpletons and their philosophy of individualism that was the antithesis of collectivism. The ideals were encapsulated in the phrase life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and incorporated in the United States Declaration of Independence. America's founders understood that property was synonymous with liberty and security in a free market economic system with minimal government regulation. Such beliefs were offensive to Marx. The concept of a God who would command humans to take ownership of land, improve it, even defend that property as their own, completely contradicted his state-controlled ideology. In 1848, Marx and Engels presented their final formula for world revolution, which they called the Communist Manifesto. In Chapter 2, they boldly stated their central objective of a new world order: the abolition of private property. Destroying the foundations of property in a capitalist economy was the ultimate goal, and so every option was on the table. Without religion, there was no moral limit on lying, cheating, and murder, because the end justifies the means. It is summarized in the old joke about the revolutionary speaking to a large audience about what will happen after the revolution. He lists a series of changes, and then speaking to the white-collar, blue-collar dichotomy, he says, "Come the revolution, we will all wear shirts and ties." A voice in the crowd says, "I don't want to wear a shirt and tie." To which the speaker replies, "Come the revolution, you will do what you're bloody well told." Few people know that the failure of state control of land under communism occurred very shortly after the 1917 Russian Revolution. The seizing of land and the creation of massive state-controlled farms were the first actions. Within a couple of years, the food supply was falling and undermining the entire economy. The fact that hungry people will rise up against bad government is the trigger for most revolutions. People tolerate bad government because they know there is no good government. The two major reasons that will make them act are failure of the food supply and when leaders forget they only govern at the will of the people. In 1924, Lenin was forced to act, so he introduced what he called the New Economic Plan, which involved peasants being allowed a very small plot of land to grow their own food. By the fall of communism in the 1990s, these plots had produced over 50% of the foodstuffs in the Soviet Union and were part of a massive black market economy. Ironically, this market was probably one of the largest and most successful examples of a truly free market economy, that is, with no government interference at all. Another phenomenon emerged from the imposition of Marx's communist ideology, namely the elimination of religion and the moral code of Christianity that fed people's souls as food fed their bodies. In most Western nations, this lack of religion associated with the expansion of socialism, Darwin's evolutionary ideology eliminated religion. Church attendance continues to be quite high in the U.S., but churches throughout Europe are almost empty and many closing every month. People were left with a yearning for a moral code. They had a multitude of challenges about their individual needs. They were concerned about their purpose in life and what came after. These are the questions and issues dealt with in Christianity that was gradually being eliminated as an option. Socialism and Darwinism suppressed and subjugated the individual to the state. The problem is, as Christianity recognizes, free will was the only feature God provided to distinguish humans from all other animals. It can be suppressed with great effect and for long periods, as totalitarian regimes demonstrate, but the free will constantly and unceasingly strive to be free. The truth is that for the very first time, Marxism was tried, it failed, and it has done so on every occasion since. All these conditions open the floodgates of another form of tyranny, environmentalism, the new religion for the new age. Václav Klaus, in fact, the former president of the Czech Republic, lived through communism, so he was aware of what was happening. He explained the threat in his 2007 book, Blue Planet in Green Shackles, saying, "Nevertheless, there is another threat on the horizon. I see this threat in environmentalism, which is becoming a new dominant ideology, if not a full-blown religion. Its main weapon is raising the alarm and predicting that human life endangering climate change based on man-made global warming. This threat of global warming was the perfect vehicle for this new form of totalitarianism. It was universal and so required a single world government. It provided a new code in the form of a religion to let the high priests control the moral high ground. It allowed them to think that they could play God, and with their irreligious science and technology, they could control nature. Consider their ludicrous claim that they were going to stop climate change. How threatening is the religion of environmentalism to God's people? I'll explain in this book. And back to Stalin, either directly or indirectly, he murdered more people than any political leader in history. That doesn't make him any less to blame for the deaths, but it does make him more easily linked, identifiable, and therefore accountable. It is entirely possible he never actually killed anyone. Henchmen did the work, and they are always available. As Machiavelli observed, one who deceives will always find those who allow themselves to be deceived. Others have killed people indirectly by implementing ideas. But few understand that there is not a great deal of difference if the idea that resulted in killing are predicated on falsehoods. The fact of the matter is, the modern green movement did not spring into worldwide action until Rachel Carson in 1962 published Silent Spring, a devastating argument against the reckless use of the pesticides that were wiping out populations of birds, insects, and other animals. Now, Silent Spring is touted as the start of public awareness of environmental issues. It influenced people by playing on their fears of the growing use of herbicides and pesticides. Carson determined, with no evidence, that her husband died from cancer due to exposure to DDT. DDT was initially used by the military in World War II to control malaria, typhus, body lice, and the bubonic plague. It was also used by farmers on a variety of food crops worldwide for pest control purposes. Public concern increased when the false claim of decline in bird populations appeared. They claimed DDT caused birds to produce eggs with thin shells, resulting in infant mortality. No scientific evidence existed, but it pulled on all the emotional strings. Western environmentalists successfully pushed for a global ban on DDT, and as a result, an estimated 90 million people in Africa and Asia died from malaria. These events have all the components of environmentalism as a religion. They also explain how it and various components like climate change, which is a subset of environmentalism, provide a valuable vehicle for population control. These are the same people who would say the world is overpopulated. It is another misdirection created to justify draconian control and the push for population reduction. Following the publication of Silent Spring and books like Paul Ehrlich's The Population Bomb, then Democratic President Lyndon Johnson joined many other politicians in adding environmental protection to their platforms. Republican Richard Nixon made considerable progress toward incorporating environmental awareness into his administration. Not only did Nixon create the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, he also signed the National Environmental Policy Act. So you see that Ehrlich, Marx, and Engels, combined with rabid, ill-informed, and deliberately distorted environmentalism, couldn't have delivered a better 1-2 punch to the American ideals of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's all a big lie.